So for this afternoon, I'd like to look at the other part of that verse in Micah 6 and 8. Because we look at things and I'd like to make some big sacrifices for the Lord. That verse talked about it. Will the Lord be pleased? This is Micah 6 and 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil? Just have so much that I would give the Lord, but here's what he really wants. 8th verse. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require thee? To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. That's what I would like for us to look at this afternoon, is the part of walking humbly with God. What does that mean for us in 2025? I was thinking of a song, number 298. It says this in the first verse, if thou wouldst have the dear Savior from heaven walk by thy side from the morn to the even, there's a rule that each day you must follow. Humble thyself to walk with God. You know, that hardly seems, looks like that would be no problem when we see who God is. And here he's saying, humble yourself to walk with him. But how the enemy would like to cause us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Let's go to some verses this afternoon. So what we're looking at this afternoon is, instead of all the sacrifices that I could give to the Lord that surely would please him, here's what he would like to be able to give. And that is that I walk humbly before him. So Romans 12 and 3, someone go ahead with it.
For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Okay, so we're talking about walking humbly with God. And here comes this verse. I say through the grace given unto me to every man among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Now, how high is that? How high should I be thinking? Proverbs 6 and 16.
These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him.
Okay, and go ahead with the next, with that list.
A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren.
So those, the list of things in there, some of them are really terrible things. But he starts out the very top of the list. One of the things that he hates, six things doth he hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. And the first, and I don't think there is an accident that it was put first. One of the top things that he hates is a proud look. And I think a proud look is not so much the outside as what it's displaying is what I feel like I am on the inside. What was that first verse that we have? To every man among you, don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. There's a balancing act for us, because we can have what is called an inferiority complex, and we think of it as being humility. I just don't feel like I can do anything. I'm nothing. I'm not worth anything. That's not humility. I think humility we will find is me realizing who God is, who I am, so thankful for the connection that I can have between me and him, and yet always realizing where I am and who I am. So six things he hates, a proud look is one of them. And you know, there's some things that if I could find out what things God hates, I really want to not have them in my life. I'd like to make sure. So whatever is happening that causes there to be a proud look, and we're going to see some examples of that in a little bit. So what will help me not to have a proud look? I think it's really important for me to always keep in my mind where I came from. So if we look, who has Genesis 2 and 7?
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
You know, that's important for us whenever he's telling me, Dan, don't have a proud look. It's important for me to realize where'd I come from. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. And then in another verse it says, from dust thou art, and back to dust you're going to return. So not much room there for me to be able to have a proud look or inside of me to consider that I am something. What does it say? To think himself something when he is nothing. Compared to God, I am nothing. And yet he cares about us. We see so many places that he cares about us. Okay, what about Psalms 8 and 3 through 4?
And I consider my heaven, the work of the fingers, the moon and the stars, which how are ordained.
What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?
So this is an interesting verse. He's not saying, when I look at heaven and I see all these things, then I'm nothing. Because you'll see that he's really saying, you were very valuable to me when I created you. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands, the things that you have ordained, it just makes me realize, what is man? Who am I? We sing a song sometimes, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine, Lord? I have so much to be thankful for that he made a sacrifice for me. But he's saying, to this man will I look. I'm looking for some folks who will walk humbly before me. Let's go ahead with Isaiah 66. So we're looking at taking a look at God and then trying to see what our value is. Okay, 66 and 1 through 2 of Isaiah.
Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word.
So I think for us to walk humbly before the Lord, we need to do like this verse is saying. The first thing I see is how great God is. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. What's something that you would be able to give to me that I need? All those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But here's the one that he will look at. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at his word, has a deep respect for what God says he accepts and what he does not accept. Okay, Isaiah 57 and 15 is similar.
For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
So here again we see this is who God is looking for. Thus saith the high and lofty one, he inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. And he could say, and you have no access to someone so high. But here he says, with him also that is of a contrite and an humble spirit. I want to have an humble spirit before the Lord. And I think to do that, I need to keep in my mind how great God is. The song we sing, How Great Thou Art, just those kind of songs should cause my mind to realize how great God is. And yet he's still willing to answer my needs, my requests. Okay, Psalms 138 and 6.
Psalms 138 and 6. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off.
You know, sometimes whenever we're getting ready to take prayer requests, we say, have anybody got Thanksgiving? And you know, we raise our hand, I'm thankful that I'm feeling good, or I'm thankful the weather's good, or whatever. You know, I really need to be thankful that though the Lord be high, he has respect to the lowly. He still looks down on us, each one, and has a care about us. One thing is, he has a desire for me to make heaven my home. So I've got a couple examples of someone that went through a humility class. And as we look at it, I can just think of it as being a Bible story. But I think it's more than a Bible story for us. It's something for me to take heed to. And that is in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, in the first verse. This is a contrast here in this first verse. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Now that's quite a testimony for a man. He was a great man with his master and honorable. He was also a mighty man of valor. Those are things to make a person be proud. But then look at this other. But he was a leper. He was in so much need of help. And we find where the maid comes to him, little maid, and says, if you could just go back to where I came from, you could be healed. And he goes, and I look over here in the 9th verse. You know, even though he's a leper, he didn't go looking like a poor leper, just one man walking on a cane and asking for help like we find so much when people were coming to Jesus with leprosy. But instead, what he does, he comes with a show. So Naaman, 9th verse, he came with his horses, his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha. I think he had an expectation. He was a proud man. Leprosy was just a problem that he had that he'd like to get taken care of. So he comes with a show, a lot of show, and he has an expectancy. And what does it do? You know, it's really something. Elisha didn't even come outside. It's almost like God said, here, we're going to work on this. We got a class in humility about to start here. So Elisha, don't even go outside. Just send your servant with this little message. And what was the message? Go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. You know, he had no doubt spent all he could spend on help around, and there was no help for it. Here comes somebody saying, you can be clean. The maid said, if you'll just go back there again, you can be well of this. He comes back and he didn't tell him, I don't know if this will work or not, try it and see. No, he tells him, if you will do this, you will be clean. And what does Naaman say in the 11th verse? Naaman was wroth. He went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. You know, he had high expectations because he had some pride still inside. It's going to take something to humble himself and go down to the old muddy Jordan River. What does he say? Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. And then his servants visited with him. If you just would humble yourself and go do this, you could be well. It says, servants came near and spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? He would have sure done it. If the prophet had said, I tell you, it takes this much money, or you do all these good deeds and you'll get it. But instead, why does it say, how much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? You know, for the servants, you know, they were in a critical time right there. The servants could have sided with him and said, you're right. You are a great man. That would be crazy to go down there in that muddy river. You got a white coat on anyhow. Let's just get out of here and get back home again. Look what would have been lost. But instead, a servant says, you know, a servant has learned to humble himself. They don't have a choice about it. And so to them, it was no big deal to just do what somebody says. They have done that all the time that they've been a servant. And so they are the ones that helped him to be able to make the decision. Go ahead and humble yourself. If thou wouldst have the dear Savior from heaven walk by thy side from the morn to the even, there's a rule that each day we must follow. Humble yourself to walk with God. And then there is another verse of that. Just as the Lord in the world's early ages walked and communed with the prophets and sages, he will come now to every one of us if we'll meet the conditions. Humble yourself to walk with God. There was a place in Deuteronomy, where he talked to the children of Israel and said, I caused some things to happen to you that would humble you. This is Deuteronomy 8 and 2. Wanted to humble you, wanted to prove you, whether to see what was in your heart. You know, I think God knows what's in our heart already, but he wants to send some things for us to be able to recognize it. So I look over at another class that started, and it's over in the book of Daniel. A king is just about to start the humility class. We've heard this story all of our life, but I think of what God is willing to do, and this wasn't to a Jew, this wasn't to one of his own people, but he spent some time working with a king to cause him to humble himself before him. And Daniel, in the fourth chapter, he has a dream, Nebuchadnezzar does. And how much stock do you put in your dreams? I just wake up and say, whoa, that was a crazy dream right there. He could have done that to this one. Somehow that dream stuck in his mind and he wants to know what it means. And there's some things about that dream. I saw, fifth verse, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. He made a decree for everybody to come and give him the interpretation. And so then he goes down to Daniel and he tells him what the dream was. And it says in the 13th verse, he realized that this dream is something more than just a regular dream. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. So he recognizes this isn't just a regular event right here. He cried aloud and said, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it. Nevertheless, leave the stumps, the stump of his roots in the earth. 16th verse, let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given him, and let seven times pass over him. So he's given him this dream. What are we going to do? What's going to happen this? And in the 19th verse, Daniel, when he realizes what that dream is, he says, Daniel's a slave, but he says in the latter part of the 19th verse, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation to thine enemies. Now let me tell you what's about to happen to you. You are going to become like a beast for 7 years. Your kingdom is going to be taken away from you. You're going to be out there eating grass like an ox. But then he goes to him and he tells him, but I tell you, if kind of like with Jonah, if you'll repent, maybe things would change. And so he tells him, if you'll just change, maybe this would not happen. And 1 year passes. And what does it say for him in the 28th verse? A year passes by, and at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of my kingdom, by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the words was in his mouth, it started. It's hard, you know, I've heard this story whenever I was a child. It's hard to imagine this happening to the king Nebuchadnezzar. He was one of the greatest men on earth at that time. He had conquered so many places at that time. And that's why he could say, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. The same hour, 33rd verse, the same hour it was fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, did eat grass as an ox. For 7 years he lived in this condition right here. You know, you would think, okay, 1 week, Lord, I am sorry, I will humble myself. But he went 7 years in that condition. Something that really stood out to me, you know, somebody had to run the kingdom for those 7 years. Somebody in 7 years could have said, this guy, he's a beast out there now. His mind is gone. What is amazing to me is when God saw that it was time to be finished, all those people that had run the kingdom so well while he was out eating grass like an ox, those people were willing to give it back to him again. You would think they'd say, nope, we're going to have a mental test or something. But instead, God orchestrated everything. The humility class is finished now. How do we know it was finished? Take a look over here at the 37th verse of Daniel 4. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. And he surely was with Nebuchadnezzar to bring him down to that place and then to bring him back out again when the time was right for that. There is another verse of that song, just as the stream finds a bed that is lowly, so Jesus walks with the pure and the holy. Cast out thy pride, and in heartfelt contrition, humble yourself to walk with God. There are places where the Lord gave them instruction. Children of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt. I'm going to bring you out of this. I'm going to give you something. And in Deuteronomy, in the 8th chapter, he tells them about the change that is going to come. Can you imagine what it would be to be enslaved? What is it, 400 years that the Israelites were in slavery? And now they're going to be delivered. And he's telling them what's going to be the change. I'm going to bring you into a good land, the 6th verse. Therefore shalt thou keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water. Some great things that he gives them in the next few verses. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. And then it says in the 10th verse, something that they needed to be aware of, and I need to be aware of. You know, when things are not going well with me, it's easy for me to call on the Lord and to realize how dependent I am on him. But when things get better, there's a danger. It says in the 10th verse, when thou hast eaten and art full, bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God and not keeping his commandments, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, hast built goodly houses and dwell in them. You know what? This is a danger for us today. When things are starting to go well for us, when your herds and your flocks multiply, here's what can happen. 14th verse, thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out. And it says in the 17th verse, and thou say in thine heart. I wouldn't say it to anybody else, but this one says, you say it in your heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. For us to realize, you remember when Paul was at Athens, Mars Hill, and he was talking to them about it, and he said, in him we live and we move and we have our being. For me to realize, you know what? He gives to all life and breath and all things. For me to realize that my help comes from the Lord and to walk humbly before him. So with that, I want to look at one more area. How does walking humbly with him fit in Hebrews, the 4th chapter? Because he tells us in this Hebrews 4 and 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So that looks like here is telling us to walk humbly, and now it's telling us to come boldly to the throne of grace. There are some other places. You remember in Luke 18, in the 18th chapter of Luke, where it tells us about the widow and the unjust judge. She just continues to come back. He tells her, no, he's not going to grant her request, but it's like tomorrow she comes back again. You know what? I believe she had a respect for the office, but she also knew this is where my help's going to come from. So I don't think she was disrespectful when she would continue to go back to him. We hear about you can have contempt of court and go to jail. Well, I think she had a respect for the office that he had, but she just was, I still got this need. I'm going to come back to you. I think let us come boldly to the throne of grace is us respecting who God is and just so thankful for the privilege that we have a connection between us down here and him up here, that we can call on him. And he's telling us, do it. There was, if I looked at it this way, when I was a child, if I would have told Dad, you better do this for me. You know, if I'd have done it to a judge, it'd be contempt of court and you go to jail. If I do it to Dad, it's probably a whipping, because he's here and I'm down here. It's one thing to tell him, you better do this for me. It's another thing to just like a dear child to a father, Father, I need this. Would you help me out with it? And I believe that's what it's telling us to be able to see God as. We sing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege we get to carry everything to God in prayer. So I start seeing how this connection is. Come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm not trying to make God do anything. I'm realizing this is an opportunity that he gives me. I don't need to let the devil tell me, no, don't come back again. You've already asked one time. Don't do it again. You know, when he gave the story about the widow and the unjust judge, that was with commendation. It was, keep on coming back with your requests. You keep on asking me for the things that you need. And I am glad for that. But there are some places. You remember where also it said, it's like this man that he had somebody come to stay with him and he needed some bread. So he went to his neighbor, his friend that could have helped him. And he asked him, hey, it's the middle of the night, but would you give me some bread for him? And he said, nope, we've already gone to bed here. He said, well, he wouldn't do it because he was his friend, but I tell you what, he did it because he kept on knocking on the door, and I'm not going to get any more sleep till I do this. You know what? That was a commendation for that man to keep on knocking. So I think about those places tell us, keep on bringing your requests to the Lord. But let's also remember, he's up here and I'm down here. So I want to give out a couple more verses. Someone could get Ecclesiastes 5 and 2.
Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few.
That's an interesting verse for me. Whenever he's telling me to walk humbly before God, be real careful about being hasty to utter anything before God. Remember, God's in heaven, and I'm down here on earth. Therefore let my words be few. Okay, Isaiah 55 and 8 and 9.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the harvest heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Okay, this is God letting us know, I just don't see things the same way as a human sees. I'm way up here. You know, if I could, from where I'm looking close to the ground, I can see just a certain little distance. You get up in an airplane and you can see the big picture and look at God way up there in heaven, looking at it all. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, that's just how much higher my thoughts are than yours. What does that have to do with walking humbly before God? Whenever I tells me I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I can bring my request to the Lord, but there's something I want to always remember. He's way up here looking. He looks out into eternity. He doesn't just see my today's and I'd like to be free of this problem today. He sees out into eternity. And you remember when the children of Israel came to the Lord with a request, we want this, we want it real bad. And I believe maybe they would have been like the widow and the unjust judge. Give me this request. I want this request. And he gave them their request, and he sent leanness to their soul. You know, I can have requests that I come boldly to the throne of grace, and I say, Lord, I want you to do it this way. I'm going to keep coming back to you to get it done this way. And eternity's out ahead. I don't want it to cause there to be a leanness. So if I walk humbly before the Lord, what I'll be doing is saying, Lord, what does it say? With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. I can tell him with thanksgiving, thank you for what you did for me yesterday. Lord, I have this need, and it seems like this right here is the way to fix my problem. But Lord, I can only see a small part of the picture. Would you look at it if taking me in this direction will send leanness to my soul. I hand it to you. Walking humbly before God. Okay, now Romans 8 and 26.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Okay, so looking at this verse, we know not how to pray as we ought. Now, I can think, I sure do know how to pray. I got this problem right here, and I'd like to have it gone. I really don't know how to pray as I ought. I need to be say, Lord, eternity's out ahead for me. I would like to have it done this way. But if you see there's another way that it needs to be done that will help me to be able to make heaven, I want to do it that way. There's a verse that says, the trying of your faith is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. The troubles that come into our life have so much value for us when we look at it in the light of eternity. So I want to walk humbly before God, realizing that He cares so much about us, each one, making heaven our home. I want to realize He's up here, I'm down here, but He says, I want to have a connection with you. I want you to feel free to come to me with any problem you have. But always remembering, Lord, it may not turn out the way I want it to turn out. This past, maybe Wednesday night, Brother Wright asked to be prayed for because it was time for him to go in again for blood pressure test. And I talked to him about it. I said, you know, these are some of the times when it is the very best way for us to know God's will. If we will submit ourselves, Lord, whatever this comes, however this goes, I will take it as being your will. He came back this time. You remember before he's had to go several times before it was all cleared. This time he came back with it cleared. So, you know, we can take those kind of times when we lay it out before the Lord and he works it out this way to be able to thank him. Thank you, Lord, because I was just as willing for you to close the door. It could be for job that we are looking at doing out in the future, job changes or whatever, that we can ask the Lord, because I'll tell you, I have looked when I was younger, I looked at a job and there were some things I looked at that would help me decide if I wanted it, how much it paid, what were the benefits. And now I realize there's much more involved. I could go to a job that made more money than any of the other offers. But there's an influence at that job that I did not know about that could influence me in the wrong way and I'd lose my soul in the end. So you know what we pray for? Lord, you can see better than I can see. You might see that, and maybe it's not a job opportunity. Maybe it's where we want to live. Lord, I'd like to move to this place. We don't even know who the neighbors are going to be. It is so safe for us to come boldly to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I'm so glad I have this connection between me and you. Now I'm going to bring you my request and I'm going to believe that you're going to do for me what is best. So I want to close with a song number 201. The value of walking humbly before the Lord. This one says, humility, thou secret veil, unknown to proud in heart, where showers of blessings will never fail and glories will never depart. Walking humbly with God. Humility, how pure thy place, thou seat of holiness, thou door of entrance into grace and everlasting bliss. Humility, how calm the breast that knows thy peace sublime. Within thy courts our perfect rest grows sweeter all the time. Humility, thou shoreless sea of perfect love so deep, thy crystal waters cover me, my helpless soul to keep. Humility, walking humbly before God. Oh, make thy blessed abode with me. You know how sometimes we get to move into this place? Is things happen in our life kind of like it did with Nebuchadnezzar. He brings us into a place. Maybe it's because, what did it say? He caused men to ride over my head. He humbled me. He did it to the children of Israel. I humbled you. I wanted to prove you. I wanted to see what was in your heart. Could it be that in 2025, God wants to do the same thing with me sometimes? I want to humble you. I want to send some things your way that is not what I would want. I would pray to the Lord to take it away. I want to see what's in your heart, whether you would serve me or no. If I may ever dwell with thee, Lord, if I can walk in humility, my soul will never die. Maybe we could stand and sing that song, number 201.